Get the house you want with the payment you want at buywithconrad.com. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this at buywithconrad.com. NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. The first step to buying a house is buywithconrad.com.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle, and welcome to the Kurt Angle Show. On the show today, we'll be discussing my relationship with Vince McMahon. But first, let me introduce to you my co-host, Paul Bromwell. How you doing today, Paul?
Hey, Kurt, I'm doing well, man. It's been a busy last few days. I'm not going to lie. I was down in Nashville for StarCast, saw Ric Flair's last match.
That had to be a blast, huh?
Yeah, which, by the way, you can still order it on Fight, RicFlairsLastMatch.com. Kurt, it was awesome. Got to see a lot of your old dancing partners backstage. Rey Mysterio, Undertaker, Bret Hart, they were all there. It was crazy. And Mike Chioda was there, the referee, so it was a really good time.
They brought in those guys for Ric Flair's last match.
Yeah, they were all sitting ringside, bro.
Oh, that is awesome.
So it kind of felt like that big style, like UFC deal. You know how they flash to the audience and show the front row?
All the fighters there, yeah.
That was the same exact thing. And you had Taker, Bret Hart, you had Santino Marella was there, Vicky Guerrero, all these, Bully Ray, just a litany of guys. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun. But, buddy, as soon as I got back into town, my first priority was to watch your documentary on A&E. And I was just talking to you about it before we got on. It was an emotional journey that I don't know that I was prepared for. We heard some stories that I don't know that I've heard about you and about your family in the past. Man, it was so good, Kurt.
Yeah, it was a bit of a tearjerker. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't expect it to be, but you know, after we got done with it and I saw it over again, I even cried.
I'm sure.
And it was me, you know, it was the documentary was about me, but it was, the director did a really good job with this. He put it together.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you were telling me, as well that, hey, there's going to be one that's got even more footage and also more, even your TNA experience, more comprehensive, even from your childhood. And you're what, next year, Peacock?
Yeah, so I'm Peacock in 2023. So the Kurt Angle documentary, it's called Angle. That's what the documentary is called. It'll be airing on Peacock in 2023.
Man, that's awesome. So that's one to keep an eye out for, I'm sure, if it's anything like the A&E. And I think your fans are going to dig that even more, just especially because, like you said, they're going to get that TNA piece of it too.
A little bit more of me growing up and a little bit more of TNA. When WWE got a hold of the documentary, they added in a lot of WWE stuff. And absolutely, I don't blame them for that.
Yeah.
But this documentary is my whole life story.
Mm, all right. Good stuff. I can't wait to, I'm going to sit down with my wife and son when he gets back from his little summer vacation. We're going to rewatch your A&E thing. It was that good. So, Kurt, it's a pleasure to be with you. I think tomorrow, as we're recording this, you're going to be at Icons of Wrestling in Philadelphia doing meet and greets, right?
Yeah, I'll be doing a meet and greet from 11 to 2. I'm going to have a lot of fun meeting the fans.
Can't wait. I'm going to join you there for that and hang out with you. So I'm looking forward to it. So let's jump into what we're here to discuss today. And my goodness, what a name, what a topic, especially right now. It's Vince McMahon is this week's episode. And we've talked about your first ever meeting with Vince. But I want you to share, you shared a little bit with it on that A&E documentary, that first day you pull up to Stamford. Bring us up to speed on everything. What was it like that first day meeting Vince?
Well, WWE contacted me right after the Olympics, after I won the gold medal, and they invited me up to Stamford, Connecticut to the headquarters. And I met with Bruce Pritchard and Vince McMahon, and they offered me an incredible contract. it was very lucrative. Probably the best contract they ever offered to anyone that's never tried out or has ever been involved in pro wrestling. I didn't even watch it as a kid. And it was $500,000 a year for 10 years. To me as an Olympian, I made $35,000 winning the Olympic gold medal from the Olympic Committee. That's about it. That's about all the money I made in the Olympics. Besides some endorsements I did, obviously, but this was money I never saw before. And I was like, wow. But the thing was, I said, hey, I'm an Olympic gold medalist, so I can't lose. Yeah. I didn't understand the business. I didn't understand you put each other over, and that's how guys get more popular and you build each other up. I just thought, you know, I'm a gold medalist. I haven't lost in years. I might as well stay undefeated in pro wrestling. And, they looked at each other, Bruce and Vince, and they said, okay, take the contract home and we'll get back to you. And, you could tell by Bruce's face, he was like, okay, this guy's freaking crazy, saying what I said. But I took it back to my agent, who was a former amateur wrestler, and he was a pro football player. His name's Ralph Sindrich. And he said, you're not doing this crap. You're a real wrestler. Stick with the real wrestling. I'll get you something else. And so I passed it up. He threw it in the trash in his office, and that was it. So I ended up taking a sports casting job in Pittsburgh for a year, and that didn't work out very well.
So I love the clip. I saw you posted it on your social media, but it's where you're being interviewed and you're saying, if you're offered, what was it, like $3
million? $3 million for 3 years.
Yeah. You were like, no, absolutely not. I'm a pro wrestler.
No, I'm a real wrestler.
Yeah. Real wrestler. Yeah. Oh, so good, man. So funny. So let's talk a little bit more, though, about Vince. What were your first impressions sitting down? You said him and Bruce were there. First impressions of Vince McMahon.
Surprisingly, he was very normal. he was very professional, didn't crack any jokes, didn't do anything too crazy. When he met with who was the football player that did the throw up gimmick?
Darren Drozdov.
Darren Drozdov. Yeah. When he met with him, with puke.
Yeah.
He was like,
you're going to puke.
Yeah. You're going to puke. And, that was his first impression of Vince, Darren Drozdov.
Yeah.
Mine was different. He was very professional, very well behaved.
Ah, that's cool. So you talked to us about the offer. You talked to us about everything that went down. Did you have another meeting before signing the developmental contract in 1998?
Well, not really. What happened was when I took the sports casting job, that didn't work out. I started watching Raw on TV, and I really liked it. First time I ever watched it. I fell in love with Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I was like, I can do this. So I called those guys in mid-1998, and I talked to Jim Ross, and I said, hey, does that contract still stand from 1996? He said, nope, you're going to have to come up and try out. And you know what? I've always worked for everything I ever had. And it wasn't a surprise to me. I've always had to work for everything I've ever accomplished. So this was no different. I was going to have to work my way up the ladder. And the crazy thing is that contract that I got, the first contract, was $75,000 guarantee a year. That was
unbelievable.
It, compared to $500,000. So, they started me out very humbly.
Yeah, but I'd say at this point, your motivation and interest is way different because you did go back and expose yourself to the brand. You saw Stone Cold and you saw the athleticism that was involved. So now you had a hunger all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. I was into it. I fell in love with it just watching it.
Yeah.
And I was like every other WWE fan. I really enjoyed it. And I couldn't wait to do it.
Yeah, no, that's so cool. So again, and I keep saying this because I just watched the documentary, but we saw video and clips of you and doing the training. You're in the Funkin' Dojo with Dory Funk Jr. Tom Pritchard, who I absolutely love. Dr. Tom was there involved in a lot of the photos. Do you see or hear from Vince while you're training there?
You know what? They had the training facility for the Dory Funk Dojo camp. It was in the warehouse, which is a few miles from the headquarters. But at the headquarters, that's where the weightlifting gym was. And every morning we'd go into the gym and work out. And every once in a while, Vince would pop in and work out, have a quick workout. And he would say hi to everybody and we'd say hi to him. But that was about it.
So, okay, just saying hi to him. Talk a little bit about, though, and I know they showed the training, but I want you to talk a little bit more. Training with Dr. Tom and Funk and Dory Funk Jr. What was that like working with those guys?
You know what they were really good at? The basics. Bumping, selling, chain wrestling. That's most of the stuff that we learned. And it was stuff that was very crucial to my career, because that's what I had to learn. You know, the bumping is the most important thing. The selling's the second most important thing, if not the most important. I would switch that around and say selling's most important, bumping second most important. And chain wrestling, you got to know how to chain wrestle. You have to know how to start a match and get the fans into it. And those guys were the best at it. They were the complete best. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I often talk to Dr. Tom, just a little, I'm going to show for adfreeshows.com. He has a show on there every 2 weeks. It's a mailbag show. But man, he always puts you over, Kurt, and just that how quickly you took to the business. There's some that it takes a little bit of time to acclimate and get used to what you're supposed to do, selling, bumping, the whole nine yards. But he says, man, I don't know if there was anybody that took to it faster than Kurt Angle and really progressed through the reps. He thinks very highly of you. So there you go.
Well, I appreciate that. I love Tom. I was a student of the game. I was obsessed with it. And that's why I learned so quickly. What I did is I forgot everything I ever learned in my life, because amateur wrestling and pro wrestling are the complete opposite. You don't sell in amateur wrestling. You don't show any emotion. You go for the pin right away. You don't tell a story in a match. So I had to forget everything I ever learned. I even forgot about all my suplex. I let my opponent throw me around and bump me around and learned the opposite way. Instead of having an offensive approach, I had a defensive approach. And I learned from that and then build on it and then start turning that into offense. But I think I did it the right way.
Absolutely. So let's get into it. You go to TV for the first time in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, yeah. Glorious Pittsburgh. It's March 2nd, 1999. And you do the skit with Tiger Ali Singh. Did you see Vince there? Is he producing the segment with you? Is he involved? Tell us about that.
Yeah. He produced the whole segment. He told me what to do, what to say, how to say it. You know, you had to follow his directions.
Yeah.
Vince is very stern about that stuff. So I had to make sure I did everything the way he wanted it done.
Nah, that's cool. And then you're on the road for about 6 months doing dark matches at most of the TV tapings. Are you interacting, spending time? Is he coaching you? Is he giving you tips while you're doing all that with the dark matches?
Hell no. He has too much to worry about. I mean, he doesn't have to worry about a talent that's coming into TV. He has to worry about the talent that's on TV.
Ah, good point.
So, you know, Vince, he's very limited with his time. You're lucky to get 5 minutes with him if you want to meet with him. So, Vince was concerned with the product, and I didn't blame him. I knew that once I started, I would get his attention.
Now, what about you? Because you're such a sponge for wrestling. When you were done your dark match, do you hang out and watch the rest of the card? You pack your bags and hit the road?
This is great. Funny story. I was doing my match, and I was leaving right afterward. And Shane McMahon caught me one night. He said, Kurt, you can't leave. You're going to get heat with the other wrestlers. You have to respect them and watch them have their matches. You have to stay till the end of the night. And not only that, you're going to improve so much more. And Shane was right. The longer I stayed, the more I improved. Watching those guys and seeing what they did and how they sold and the moves they did, I was learning so quickly because of that. I was studying every match. And Shane was exactly right.
Yeah, no, that's cool, too, if Shane just to come over, whisper in your ear, hey, buddy.
He didn't tell on me. He told me, no. Hey, don't do
that's
this.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love it. So let's talk about the vignettes, because here we go. And is Vince the one that's hands-on with the build-up, the vignettes that are being televised before your debut at Survivor Series?
Yes, it was all Vince's idea. The three I's came from Vince: intensity, integrity, and intelligence. He wanted me to be this clean-cut Olympic hero that drank milk, didn't swear, was a role model for kids, because he knew the WLB fans would puke all over it.
So, and you didn't think they would. You thought they'd embrace it.
No, they're going to love me. I'm an Olympic gold medalist, and I am clean cut, and I am the golden boy, and I do drink milk. And, you know, and he's like, well, they're going to hate you for it. I trust me. They don't know who you are yet. They know you won a gold medal, but they don't know you personally. And until they know you, they're going to shit on you.
Yeah, buddy, this is the Attitude Era. A guy like that, they are just going to shit all over.
Stone Cold Steve Austin was the biggest baby face in the business, and he drank beer and flipped everybody off. I mean, you know, and it was the complete opposite.
Oh, man. So how quick did Vince realize that your character is going to be very much comedy-oriented?
You know what? He just gave me vignettes to do and told me just to, you know, do your best. And I didn't even know I had the gift. I'm not saying I have a gift of
you do, buddy.
Acting. Don't. Or yes, you do. Be comedic. But I didn't know it. And they just tried it. And every week there was something different. You know, Brian Gewirtz, the writer, he was incredible. Who's going to be on next week?
Yes, next week, man. I can't wait.
He's our guest of our show. I had a, what were you talking about, Paul?
We were just talking about The Gift as far as your comedy, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know comedy. What? I didn't know I had it. They were utilizing me as long as I did really well. So they pre-recorded it to see if it would turn out well. And if it did, they would air it. And I was doing it properly. I was doing it the right way. So they kept airing every one of them. But I think Vince was a little nervous that if he wasn't able to do this, we're not going to air them. But I was passing the test, and I was passing with flying colors. And he didn't realize, nobody realized I was going to be that funny. I didn't think it.
Well, and you said you questioned yourself when you started to answer me the first, like, I'm not saying I have a gift. Buddy, you and I have watched enough segments at this point on this show. You got it. You were hilarious, man. And it just clicked. It was so good.
You know, what was great was having an incredible writer. I'm not going to lie to you. I know I toot about Brian all the time, but the stuff he did for me, what he wrote for me, was amazing. We had great chemistry together, and that's why we were able to be funny together. You know, he also wrote for The Rock and Chris Jericho and Edge and Christian. Those guys are the most entertaining guys in the business. Brian Gewirtz deserves a lot of credit for a lot of the stuff we.
Oh, I can't wait to talk with him next week. We're going to play some of your old clips too of some of the segments you wrote. It's going to be a great time. Some of the funny ones,
right?
Yeah. What about Vince? Is he helping you? Because we've seen sometimes backstage clips where he's coaching wrestlers with mannerisms and how to say things and do it this way. Was that some of the hands-on that you were getting from him, or was he just letting you do your thing?
No, at first, yes. He was there for, you know, probably the first 4 weeks, all the pre-tapes I did. He was overlooking everything. He wanted to make sure I did it properly. If I did it wrong, he would say, adjust it this way, say it this way and that way. So Vince was always there for me, especially the first 4 weeks.
There you go. It sounds what he does. That's what he's a genius with. It's developing characters, and he knows what genius. He likes. Yeah. What about the pressure? Let's talk about the pressure from Vince as you get started. You're moving up the card, and you're getting all these titles in the first year. Are you feeling pressure from him, or is it more like encouragement? Hey, keep doing your thing. Loving what I'm seeing from you.
It was more encouragement. I was building confidence every week because I was getting better and better. My promos, with my pre-tapes, with my wrestling. And, you know, I just kept getting better and kept on improving. And I don't know how, I don't know why, but it was just coming to me very quickly. And I was just utterly amazed at myself, to be honest with you.
You're just so naturally gifted.
I never did anything like this. I was an amateur wrestler that showed no emotion and was never funny in his life. And, you know, now I'm going in and being one of the most entertaining wrestlers in the business. It's crazy.
Kurt, did you ever act in school plays? I mean, did you have any acting experience?
But you know what? In high school and college, I used to, back then, you got picked on. If you went to plays or were in plays,
if you were the artsy guy, sorry,
but back then in the 1980s, you know, they call you a pussy, you know?
Right.
So I was obsessed with it. So like I would take classes like credits for high school where I would set up for the plays. And then I would go to them, and I would go with a hat on so nobody could recognize me. I was obsessed with acting. I loved it.
That's
and,
cool.
You know, that's probably why I got into WWE. It is some form of acting to an extent, but I knew that my love for acting was there, and WWE was a great beginning point for me.
Sure. So what you're trying to say is if we look back through your yearbooks, we won't see you in the Glee Club at all.
No, you won't.
Okay. Well, let's get into some other fun stuff here. I can't wait for this. Did it make you feel weird doing the segments with Stephanie, particularly the kissing one with Vince right there directing it, staring at you?
Oh my God. You know what? It was weird. It was very uncomfortable. And you know, Vince, not only was he directing, he was literally 2 feet away from us.
That's so like, weird,
the
man.
The camera was right here. Stephanie and I are here, and Vince is right behind the camera looking at us like that. And I'm not saying he looked like he was aroused, but
he was into it.
Like, this looked like, I want to see this. So I kissed Stephanie. And I do it like this because I'm nervous as hell.
You look like a duck. He's got duck lips.
I look like a duck, fish lips, right?
Yeah.
So Stephanie afterwards says, "You kiss like a fish." I said, what the hell do you want me to do? You want me to slip you the tongue while your dad's watching? And plus, you're married to Triple H.
Oh, man. So were there any practicing? Was there like practice kissing sessions or anything?
No. You know what? We honestly, in WWE, very seldom do they ever rehearse stuff. It's just.
Yeah. Just like your rap battle.
We got to keep going, sticking and moving.
I don't know. I'm just having fun. I figured there was no practicing, but that's me living vicariously through you. So listen, what's the call like when Vince says, man, you're going to be defeating The Rock and you're going to become world freaking champion? What's that like, dude?
It blew my mind. I'm going to beat The Rock for the world championship. One of the greatest superstars of all time. And I think the reason was, and this is what he told me, Vince, at SummerSlam that year, the couple months before, I had a triple threat with Triple H and The Rock, and I got a concussion. Triple H went to pedigree me through the table. The table broke early, and I landed down on the concrete floor on my head and got a concussion. And I went backstage, and you know what? The match was supposed to be that way, but I wasn't supposed to really get a concussion, but I did. So I was supposed to get wheeled back anyway. So I was supposed to be away from the match for 5 or 10 minutes and then come back and save the day. Well, I get wheeled back there. And I have a real concussion. Vince is going crazy. Like, what are we going to do? We need him to go back to the ring. And I'm laying there, and they're filming all of it, the production team. And I'm saying, I have a pre-tape now. And they're like, yes. So I had a live tape. It was a live pre-tape.
Yeah.
And Stephanie's saying, hey, will you go out and help Triple H? And I was supposed to say, I'll do it for you, Steph. I'll do it for you. And they said it to me, and they were getting ready to shoot. And I said, wait, what am I saying again? Oh, they said, no. Just say, I'll do it for you, Steph. I said, okay, what am I saying again? I said it like 5 times.
You were out of it.
Vince goes, God damn it. Someone get him some smelling salts.
Oh no.
So eventually I come to life. I'm able to get up and I go out to the ring. Stephanie guides me out to the ring. And when I get out there, I don't know what I'm doing. I have a concussion. I don't remember what I have to do in the match. So Stephanie's telling me what to do. She's walking me down, hold my arm. I get to the ring. And she says, okay, when The Rock hits the ropes, grab his foot and pull him out of the ring. I said, okay. So I do it. I look at her. She's like, pick him up. And I pick him up and I look at her and she goes, throw him into the steps. She thought I would like pick up on what I had to do.
And you didn't. Because
naturally, you know, if you pull someone out, you're going to throw him in the steps. I didn't know because I had a concussion. So, and then I throw him to the steps and I'm staring at her for like 5 seconds. She goes, get in the fucking ring. So I get in the ring, and then Triple H calls the rest of the match to me. So Vince, and the reason he had me beat The Rock for the world title, he had me win it earlier because he knew he could depend on me. Even with a concussion, I went out there and wrestled, and I proved to him that I'm loyal to him. And Vince felt that he owed it back to me. So he said, listen, you're going to beat The Rock World Championship. We're going to give you a nice long title reign. And I thought that was awesome. And you know what? He didn't have to do that. You know, I was excited just to go to work every week. I didn't have to win the world title. Don't get me wrong. It was great that I did, but you know, Vince and I had a great relationship at this point in time. And, we were hitting it off pretty good.
Well, not only that, it just proves to you and to the audience and to all of us where you were at already so quickly, in terms of where your character was at the time, you were over. Pal, you were way over. You're in ring. You're already performing with guys like The Rock, Undertaker, Triple H, and not just in the ring with them. You're at their level, maybe even a little bit better. So it all came together, and I think it was a no-brainer, man. Such a cool time for you in your career.
It was. And you know what I get, Paul? Like fans today, they say, Kurt, I hated your guts when you started. But I, you know what? Now I appreciate it. You are such a great heel. And it's like, that's the best feeling in the world. Like knowing that I got to them, but they appreciate it later in time. You know, it was like, you were awesome. You were the best. I love to hate you. And it was like, oh, that's great. That's a great compliment.
Listen, all that it matters is that they're invested. If they're invested, either hating you or love you, as long as they're invested, that's all that matters.
Caring about you one way or the other.
That's right. Know. You got it.
Woo Wings, a virtual restaurant concept from the man himself, the nature boy, Ric Flair. Woo! Enjoy the legendary flavors and world championship wings by ordering with your Uber Eats or Postmates app. Woo Wings is now open in Nashville, San Antonio, Jacksonville, Florida, as well as Huntsville and Tuscaloosa in Alabama, with many more locations coming soon. Try the only chicken wings worthy of carrying the name of the 16-time World Heavyweight Champion. Tell them, Nate.
Wings! Legendary flavors! World Championship wings! Woo! Wings! Yeah! Woo woo!
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Well, listen, we have our first clip of the week, and I'm going to set it up here because it's December 18th, 2000, Raw in Greenville, South Carolina. They did a show-long storyline where Commissioner Mick Foley makes you versus Vince to be in the main event for the WWF title. And when it looks like you're going to have the match, it ends up being a swerve, and you both attack Mick Foley, with Vince then firing him as commissioner. Let's take a look at it this week, Kurt. Here we go.
You know, Mr. McMahon, Mick Foley has gone too far. I mean, he would love to embarrass us. He would love to see you and I beat each other up in the ring.
Well, yeah, the thing about it, though, is Vince McMahon, once again, is WWF champion. You know, that didn't sound too bad, Kurt.
It's all right. It's not that great.
No, but think about it. Here, Foley's trying to humiliate me, see? Think about it. What could humiliate Foley any better than Vince McMahon, two-time World Wrestling Federation champion? Think about it.
I gotta go, Vince.
Yeah. Vince McMahon.
The more I think about this idea, Vince McMahon versus Kurt Angle, the more I don't like it.
Thank God.
Oh, God. The more I love it. I mean, this is a great idea. Think about it.
Why?
Well, just think about it. If I become World Wrestling Federation champion tonight, just think about what this would do to Mick Foley. It would drive him just as crazy as my wife. It would drive him right over the edge. Think about that. Mick Foley... Okay, now having to deal with me, Vince McMahon, World Wrestling Federation champion.
Yeah. I don't get it, Vince.
It's a big deal. All you got to do is take a couple of shots. I mean, you know, I'll try not to lay them in too hard. I mean, you know, and I'll just cover you real quick for the 1, 2, 3. It's not, you know.
With all due respect, sir, no freaking way. I'm not just going to lay down and give you my title.
Ooh.
Really?
Let me remind you where you are and who you are. You're not in the Olympics. You're in the World Wrestling Federation, okay?
Yes, I know.
And who brought you here? Me, Vince McMahon, a billionaire, all right? Think about it.
Well, can I ask you a question? With all your billions, do you have these? Where are your gold medals? Huh? Where are your gold medals? That's right, you don't have any. And you're not getting these. And you're not getting my title either, Mr. McMahon.
Uh-oh.
Listen, Mick, you win, okay? I don't know what you want to hear. Just don't make me go through with this match tonight. I mean, either Vince has something up his sleeve that's going to cost me my title, or I'm beaten up and humiliating the owner of this company. And I have enough enemies here. I don't need Vince McMahon, too, you know?
Oh, Kurt, I'd like to help you. I really would. There's just one problem, you see. After I made the match, I called my wife at home, and she's so excited about the match that if I were to call it off, I'm afraid that she'd ask for a divorce. I can't do it. Match stays, Kurt.
You know something, man? I'm not going to forget this.
Neither will I, Kurt. Neither will I.
What? I don't know. I'm a little concerned. No matter who wins.
Yeah, Mr. McMahon's old daughter heard and I called him a mean old bastard. That's what she did.
And I'd have to be prone to agree with that judgment. Stephanie McMahon Helmsley is actually in some ways a very wise young lady. Look at the intensity on Vince's face.
Oh, I know it. I mean, I think that Vince really, he really thinks he can beat Kurt Angle. He really thinks he can become the WWF champion.
McMahon has been champion on one occasion.
That's right. He is a former champ. And that was a cluster. Look at this stand. What?
Hey, well, JR, I'll give the devil his due. Vince McMahon can be very tough in that ring. Obviously, keeping good shape. Hi, Vince. Look,
he's talking to you. He's the reason for all this. Let me just tell you, you're the reason.
I think, Vince, that you're the reason your wife had a nervous breakdown.
Said I'm the reason?
Oh, yes, I'm the Vince, he got 2 points. He's playing this amateur contest. He got 2 points.
He took down the Olympic champion. McMahon did what no Iranian athlete or Hungarian.
First of all, I want to thank you, Mick Foley, for booking this match.
You're welcome, Vince. You're welcome.
Because, quite frankly, what you have just seen is me, Vince McMahon, a former state amateur champion, just take down and score 2 points on the Olympic gold medalist.
It's true. We saw it. We witnessed history here.
I had no idea, quite frankly, it was going to be this easy.
Man!
It was pretty easy for Vince.
Look out, buddy!
Oh, Kurt, so good, man. That brought back some fun memories, huh?
Oh, yeah. I love Mick. He's so entertaining.
We're just going to end the clip there because it's just an extended beatdown on Foley from you and Vince. You guys beat the shit out of him. So, listen, this is the only time you're supposed to get in the ring to wrestle Vince, and it doesn't happen. Are you disappointed that you never got a full-scale match with Vince McMahon? I mean, he is going to say that he got 2 points on you.
You're right. You know what? Yes, I am disappointed. Listen, Vince McMahon is money. Whenever he wrestles, fans watch. They pay to see it. They buy pay-per-views. They do the whole ball of wax. And he's wrestled all the top superstars. So I would love to have a match with Vince. It's not guaranteed it's going to be a great match, but you know, you're going to have a match with Vince McMahon and you're going to make some money from it.
There you go. That's true. It's not always about how technical he is, but man, it's box office, and box office equals dollars. So there you go. Let's talk about the other McMahon, and that is Shane, who you are synonymous with. Are you nervous when you're put with Shane in the street fight at King of the Ring 2001? Because again, it's not like he's, you know, wrestling every day, running up and down the roads. He's a spot wrestler, if you will. Are you nervous about it?
Yeah, this was around the beginning of Shane McMahon. I mean, I think he might have had one or two matches prior to this, but this is the beginning of Shane O'Mac, you know, the stuff he was able to produce in the ring. And I wasn't nervous at all. The only time I got nervous is when I tried to throw him through the glass and it didn't break. And I knew Vince was going to be really pissed off. It was his son. And the thing was, I was telling Shane, when it didn't break, I said, let's move on. Let's just go to the next spot. He's like, no, throw me through the fucking glass. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Shane's going to want to go through regardless. No matter how many times we do it, he's going to want to go through. And I heard Vince McMahon got out of his seat and he's getting ready to stop the match. And thank God the next time I threw him through, he went through.
So you throw him through the glass. It finally breaks. The match is over. You go back.
Well, don't forget, after I threw him through the glass, yeah, I had to throw him through back through the other glass.
Oh, yeah. You beat the living shit out of him, his son.
That didn't work. And he bounced off it, hit his head. And then I threw him face first through the glass. And that's when it worked.
So when you come back, though, is Vince, what does Vince say to you after that?
Usually when I come back, he says, great match. He gives me a hug. He didn't say anything. He didn't say you had a horrible match, or I think
but
he was
nothing.
Just pissed. And I think he was a little stunned at what occurred in that match, that Shane took a rabid beating. And I think he was really concerned for his son. He wasn't happy with either one of us, is what I'm saying.
Well, listen, Kurt, the good news is we have a solution when the glass does break. And I'm talking about with your automobile this time, because that is where CarShield can help. CarShield makes it easy and affordable to protect your car from expensive repairs, and they can help you too. And that's just for starters. They are the number one auto protection company in the U.S., and they offer protection plans for around $100 a month. That plan covers more car parts than ever before. Whether your car has 5,000 miles or 150,000 miles, CarShield is there for you. Let me tell you how simple it is to get your car fixed. When you need a repair, you choose the mechanic, and CarShield's administrators will handle the rest. That's it. You don't have to deal with the paperwork or headaches. You're taken care of. Same goes if your car breaks down and you're stuck on the side of the road. Plans through CarShield also include, listen to this, coast-to-coast roadside assistance. Their administrators are there with your rental car options and trip reimbursement at no extra cost. So get coverage today and you'll lock in your price now. And guess what? It's never going to go up once you lock in. That means as long as you own your car, no matter how old it is, you're protected from the rising cost of parts and repairs for your vehicle. So CarShield does. They protect my wallet from expensive car repairs, and they'll do the same for you. Go to carshield.com/podcast to start your plan and lock in your pricing forever. That's carshield.com/podcast. A deductible may apply. Well, Kurt, we're around the summer of 2001. It's when you, Vince, and Austin do all those great comedy skits. You know the ones I'm talking about. In particular, playing the guitar and Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care.
Cowboy and
hey, bud, you know I wasn't going to let us get through that the show without playing a clip of it. This is our final clip of the week. And here it is. Kurt, Stone Cold, Vince, and Deborah.
Sing his song, do-da, do-da. Come on, ever kept that lady sing his song. All do-da-day.
Hey, Vince.
Steve,
Deborah, how you doing?
Hey.
What are you doing?
On the leg. Somebody Steve? Been on the... I'm trying to cheer up Mr. McMahon. What are you doing? You got no business being in here.
You're cheering him up singing a song?
It's chicken soup for the soul. I'm inspiration. Look at him. He's relieved. His hair's going back. Look at you.
Look at me.
It's written all over you.
What?
Look at him.
What?
You're jealous.
Of that?
You're jealous of my relationship with Vince McMahon. You're jealous of the fact that I can sing.
Hey, you can sing. I was in the Glee Club in high school. 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you play the axe?
What's the axe?
Just the guitar.
The guitar? Well, I play the ukulele. It's got two less strings, but I think I could probably carry a tune, yeah.
You can't play the guitar.
Yes, I can.
You can't play the guitar.
Yes, I can.
You can.
Yes, I can.
You can.
I can.
You can.
Can.
Here. You talk me into it. Let's get over there. I'll help you out.
Okay, this is to cheer Vince up, right?
That's what I'm trying to do. I'll help you out.
Do you really think this is a good idea?
Well, it was until he come in.
Can you move over? You make me nervous.
Yeah.
Not an other way. You're your wife.
So.
I have a friend there.
It's okay.
Okay, I think this one will cheer you up, Vince. Okay.
Sorry.
Here we go.
Jimmy Crack Corn and I don't care. Jimmy Crack Corn and I don't care. Jimmy Crack Corn. I don't care. I got Olympic gold. I got Olympic gold. I got Olympic Dirt. Gold. Jimmy Crack Corn. I don't care. Jimmy Crack
Corn. What?
What are you doing?
I'm trying to cheer up Vince.
Cheer up who?
Vince.
Where is he?
Where'd he go?
You ran him out of the room. You stink. You're horrible. You're pathetic.
Well, I wasn't any worse than you were. I listened to you when I walked in.
I spent a lot of money on guitar lessons. I'm great. Tell him I'm great.
Well, they
didn't. That's right.
They didn't work.
Did too?
Did not.
Did too.
Did not.
Did too.
Did not.
You had to admit to you come in here.
Is he serious?
You make me sick.
Kurt, right there, you admitted that you were 2 years in the Glee Club in high school. So,
yeah.
Oh, man. Kurt, this is good stuff. So what did you think, though, about all the silly skits in particular? Did it, you all need several takes to get through some of them? I just can't imagine you all keeping straight faces.
You know what? At first, we were laughing our asses off, and Vince was getting really pissed off because we would start the pre-tape, and someone would start laughing, and Vince would be like, fuck, you know, okay, no more. Let's get serious. And after about five times, Vince said, okay, next time somebody interrupts this and starts laughing before I yell cut, you're getting fined $2,000. So everybody got real serious and nobody laughed until Vince yelled cut. But once Vince yelled cut, we were laughing our asses off.
Oh, I bet, man.
Yeah, but I do believe that I owed Vince $8,000 because I laughed four times, but he didn't charge me.
You know what would have been real? It would have been fun. Did you ever get asked or talked about hosting Saturday Night Live?
No. Surprisingly, no. I don't know if it had to do with, you know, WWE containing me because of my, you know, my secret addiction, you know, stuff that was going on with me. I was, gotcha. I was injured, the addiction thing for a couple of years. They never really reached out. And if they did, maybe WWE just said, hey, not the right time for it. I think that at one point in time in my career, I could have been on there.
You could have been amazing on a show like that, a skit show like that. Well, listen, we talked about how you never wrestled Vince, but you did tag up on TV a couple of times. You lost to The Rock and Trish Stratus on December 3rd, 2001. It's the Raw from Milwaukee, if you guys want to go back and look at it. And because of the loss, Vince was to kiss The Rock's ass on the next SmackDown. Were you glad you never got booked to be put in one of the Vince's Kiss My Ass Club segments, yeah. Dude?
Thank God, man. I dodged that bullet. I don't know how, because everybody kissed Vince's ass. And to kiss his ass, literally, that would have sucked.
I guess. I mean, but we're talking to the guy right now that had to bury his face in Rikishi's stinky ass. So
I didn't bury my face in it. He buried his ass on my face.
That's good.
And he didn't wipe his ass after he went to the bathroom.
I know. That's great clarity on that one. So true. So we're at March 28th, 2002. It's SmackDown from Philadelphia, and you defeated Triple H and Ric Flair, which we talked about a bit a few months ago. Could you tell us again about you and Vince getting into a little bit of a wrestling match on the plane flight from the UK back to the US and the whole story about it? Take us back.
All right. It was a different plane ride from hell. We were coming back from, I believe, Asia, and we were on the plane. Vince was feeling frisky, was drinking wine, a lot of wine. And so I was trying to sleep, and Vince kept having these talent wrestlers come to me and say, hey, Kurt, I need to talk to you. Can you come to the back of the plane? One of them was Lita. One was Trish. I guess Vince thought I was a womanizer. I don't know. You know, so he usually had women come get me. And I didn't smarten up after three women, you know. It was like, okay, Vince keeps doing this. And so I would go back to the back of the plane, and Vince would jump out from two seats and jump on me and, you know, surprise me. And I'd reverse him and get him down and hold him down. And I'd say, are we good? He says, yeah, we're good. And it would be over, and I'd go back to my seat. And then Vince kept doing this for 5 hours. We were in the plane for 5 hours. And, you know, he knew that I smartened up and he couldn't get me out of my chair by having someone come get me. So he started just jumping on me. You know, when he would wait 5 minutes, I'd fall asleep and he'd jump on me on my seat and start trying to wrestle me. And I would reverse him and get him down. And I must have did this 25 times.
What?
And one time we were near the door, you know, when you hit the latch and you open the door and you go out of the plane. We were hitting the latch. We were wrestling and we were leaning on it. And the flight attendant's like, listen, the pilot said, if you guys continue to do this, he's going to land the plane right now. And Vince goes, tell the pilot, go fuck himself. I'll buy the fucking plane. And we just kept wrestling. And there was wine all over the floor. The floors were white carpet, red wine everywhere. It was horrible. Oh, so we're getting ready to land. Okay. This flight attendant's stressed out. She doesn't know what to do with Vince. Vince is down up in the front of the plane. I'm in the back and I'm laying down. I'm starting to go to sleep. We start landing. We're getting ready to touch ground. And Chris Jericho's sitting in front of me and he looks down the aisle and he goes, he looks behind and he says, hey, Kurt, look who's coming down the aisle. And I look down as the plane's landing on the ground. Vince is army crawling to jump on me one more time.
What was wrong with him?
He's not even in his seat when we're landing the plane. It was crazy, man. The whole trip was like that. And Vince, you know, one thing about Vince, what he likes to do, if Mike Tyson came up to him, he'd say, Mike, I want to know what it's like to get knocked out, but knock me out. Okay. He wants to know what it feels like to wrestle an Olympic gold medalist. That's what he wanted. Vince is that type of guy. He has to feel what that person's power is. It's crazy.
Ah, man, he just kept coming and coming
all night, five straight hours. It was a pain in my ass.
Yeah, it sounds like
I couldn't do anything about it. He was my boss.
He's your boss, and you just got to deal with the shit. Like, okay, is this over or what? What are we doing? Oh.
If you could change one thing about your home, what would it be? A new kitchen, a new master bath, maybe put in a pool. What if you could do it with no money out of pocket and cheaper monthly payments? SaveWithConrad.com can help, and you can even skip your next two house payments. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. SaveWithConrad.com.
Now let's talk about, though, overall your relationship with Vince. Is it just growing stronger and stronger? I know you've considered him, and you've said it multiple times, as a father figure. Were you feeling that way here early on?
Yes, and the way you know it is when Vince remembers you on the hall. Like 12:01 a.m. in the morning, New Year's Eve, or New Year's Day, Vince would call me. I'd be the first person he called. Happy New Year. You know, December 25th, Merry Christmas. You know, hey, Happy Thanksgiving. You know that you have Vince's attention and that you know you're real close with him. He does that. And he was doing that for a while until I, you know, got into the painkillers and I started separating myself from him. But up at this point in time, we were really tight.
Well, let's talk about something that as the relationship changes and you change, and again, we know what's going on. You told us a bit in the past about your exit from WWE in 06, how Vince wouldn't return your calls, how you felt like you had to literally pull your trunks down in front of everyone to show him how badly your groin was injured, how you pretty much begged him to release you from the company. What are your memories of Vince and interacting, or the lack of it, during that time?
Well, you know what? Looking back, it was all my fault. It was my actions. It was me, my behavior, what I did with the painkillers, what I did with lashing out at Vince, calling him, threatening him, texting him, telling him I'm going to beat the crap out of him next time I see him because he won't return my calls. You know, Vince was like, he was a father figure to me. And at this point in time, he was teaching me a lesson. He was distancing himself from me because I wasn't listening to him by lowering my painkillers and start weaning off of them. Vince knew I continued on with the painkillers, and he wanted me to go to rehab. And I kept lashing out at him because I was getting injured. The painkillers were getting worse. I didn't know what to do. I felt like he wasn't listening to me, although he was. He just was teaching me a lesson. I just felt like I wasn't appreciated. And, you know, looking back at it now, I know it, all of it was my fault. I should have went to rehab when he wanted me to, because I went to rehab like 6 or 7 years later. It took me that long to realize I was an addict. And I wish I would have went when Vince told me. I probably would have stayed in the company and would have been there for 20 something.
And
don't get me wrong, I love my run in TNA. I absolutely love TNA. I'm glad I did it. But looking back, I think that if I would have listened to Vince and did the rehab, I would have stayed in the company.
And to your point, you know, you put yourself in Vince's shoes. He's giving you the ultimatum: rehab or I release you. And then you have a guy who's completely out of control, who's saying, I'm going to kick your ass, blowing it up, call him. I'm going to stop answering the phone too. Most people are, right?
You know what? I don't blame him. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I was pissed off at the time, but you know what? In that meeting, he was like, there were 3 pages of typed text messages and voicemail messages saying, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to beat the shit out of you when I see you. Vince was so mad. He got up and said, let's go right now. I was like, oh my God, my boss, my father figure wants to kick my ass right now. I didn't know what to do.
He was at wit's end too. He was at wit's end too.
He was, and he was ready to beat my ass.
He was ready to fight. Even if you beat his ass, he was ready to mix it up.
Well, you know? I respect him too much. I would have let him beat my ass. But I left the room and I started crying.
Absolutely.
I felt like I didn't have anywhere to go, what to do. And I walked in, and Vince did not want to release me. He wanted me to go to rehab. And I said, listen, Vince, if you don't let me go, I'm going to kill myself. And I didn't mean that I was going to commit suicide. I meant that I was going to kill myself with
pills. Killers. Yeah.
And he put his hands up. He said, you're released. He said, listen, just think about going to rehab. Come back in 6 months and your contract will be here waiting for you. And you know what? The next day I went, called TNA, and I never looked back.
You can say what you want to about Vince, but when tough love was needed for Kurt Angle, he was there to give it to you, whether you liked it or not.
And you know what? I learned that when I came back. You know, when I came back in 2017, it was like we never skipped a beat. He was so happy to see me. It was like the prodigal son coming home to his father. And Vince forgave me and said, let's just move on. Let's not even think about it.
Because he knew you had grown up. You finally did go to rehab. And I'm sure that made, when he heard that about you, probably made his heart swell to see that you kicked out and turned things around.
Definitely.
You know, listen, it's time to pause here because we want to talk about something. We're talking about family. We're talking about the father figure in Kurt Angle's life was Vince McMahon. And that is something that Kurt and I are both super passionate about. It's about our families. And I want to share with you something that we're also passionate about, and that's protecting them. And yes, this is a life insurance ad for GoliathLife.com. But to me, this is really about peace of mind. I want you to think about insurance for a second. We all get medical and auto insurance, yet we never even know if we're going to have a need for it. Let me let you in on a little secret. None of us are going to live forever. You all need life insurance because, unfortunately, our time on this planet is not forever. I want you to think about that. Let that reality sink in. Now, think about what would happen if your number was called tomorrow. Would your family still have access to your income? If not, you need to have a plan for that. You need to visit GoliathLife.com, and I mean right now. I've had two friends in their 40s in the last year and a half. And I don't even want to think about where their families would be if they did not have life insurance. If you don't have it, get it. It's a no-brainer. It's common sense. Protect your family. And I suggest you go to GoliathLife.com because they've made it very, very simple and affordable. GoliathLife.com streamlines the life insurance process by allowing you to get quotes from more than 20 carriers. That's right, options. And they do it within minutes, and you pick your terms and payments to fit your budget. You pick your price, you start the online application immediately, and even schedule the medical exam to come to you. And I know it's easy because I've done it. They send someone to my office. I skip the phone calls, the paperwork, and all those crazy invasive conversations. GoliathLife.com makes buying life insurance simple. No hidden fees, no upsells, no hassle. God, I love no hassle. Hell, not even a phone call. GoliathLife.com is life insurance in your hands on your time. Get multiple quick quotes right now from the comfort of your own home. That's right. Just go to your computer, begin your application in a few easy clicks right now at GoliathLife.com. Well, Kurt, we know when you came back to WWE for the Hall of Fame in 2017 was the first time you met Vince in 11 years, more than a decade. But did you ever communicate on the phone or text during your time away at all?
No, never. Not for 11 years. Not one peep, not one call, not one text. There was one point where I wanted to come back in 2015 and, I reached out to Triple H and, I reached out to Terry Taylor.
Okay.
And, Terry Taylor reached out to Triple H and Vince, and two words Vince said, bad reputation. Vince didn't want any part of me in 2015. That's when I had the DUIs, you know, everything of my whole life was spinning, you know, spiraling down. And he'd had no interest in bringing me back. And I knew right then that I had to build up my reputation. So I spent the last 2 years, proving to everybody that I could stay clean and that I was a good role model. And I had to do that in order to come back.
Well, Kurt, WWE did a whole network special about your WWE homecoming and the moment you met the first time again, hugged in his office. It was funny because he's like, get out of here. Get the camera crew out of here as soon as he hugged you. How emotional was that day for you?
I cried. It was very emotional. I felt like I finally redeemed myself. I got back to the WWE, and I got the one guy that wasn't forgiving me to forgive me. And Vince, I believe that Vince forgave me right after I left in 2006, but I didn't know it until I got back in 2017. And it was really cool that he was like, "Hey, let's just forget what. Let's just move on and continue on like we were before." And I thought that was great.
Were you the one that said, "Hey, I just want to say I'm sorry"? Did you start that? And then he said, "Let's just forget it."
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Is Vince, I'm sorry about everything. He said, "Stop right now."
Wow.
Let's just put it in the past.
There you go. Mm. Well, you're back in the fold. And I want to talk about your time as general manager. That was also a lot of fun. How hands-on was Vince with you during those backstage segments? Did it feel like, hey, we're right back in sync, right back in the old routine together?
Yeah, Vince spent a lot of time with me backstage with the GM segments, which was a lot of fun to work with him. The only thing missing was Brian Gewirtz. I'm not saying the writers were bad. They were actually really good.
But he's something else.
They didn't
else.
Have the flavor of Brian. Yeah, yeah.
He's next level.
That was different. I had Brian writing for me in 2017. My GM role would have been a lot more entertaining.
For sure. Now, did you notice any changes in Vince as you worked with him now versus back those no, many years ago?
Nothing. No different. The same old man, the same jacked, crazy ass old man. Yes.
He just didn't tackle you in an airplane like 25 times.
No, no tackling. Although he could. He's still a stud. You should see him still to this day.
Oh, I bet. Well, we saw him at WrestleMania with the old tank top, and he looked better than any 70-some-year-old should look. What about now, Kurt? What's your relationship with him right now? Could you just feel like you can call or text him anytime, and he'll write back to you?
Yeah. I called him. I texted him. You know, when this whole situation went down, I just said, I love you, Vince. And he said, love you too. I don't have to tell him what I'm thinking. I just have to reach out to him and say, hey, I'm pulling for you. And, you know, he gets it. And we don't have to talk about anything that's going on in life. Just reaching out to each other and telling each other we still care about each other and we love each other is good enough.
Well, you mentioned it, everything going on nowadays in his retirement. And you put a tweet out and it said, after winning a gold medal in 1996, I found my second calling because of Vince McMahon. Thank you for believing in me and giving me the opportunity of a lifetime. I love you, Vince. P.S. I'm still Vince's favorite, Steve Austin. He tags Stone Cold. That was fun, man. I love the fact, though, that you... Hey, I know he's going through a shitstorm, but I still want to make my feelings known about what he meant to me.
He meant the world to me. That guy changed my life. What he was able to do, not just as the owner of WWE and being my mentor and my father figure, but, you know, I learned so much from him. You know, the one thing I learned from Vince McMahon more than anything was work ethic. He's the hardest working man I've ever seen in my life. The guy gets 2 hours sleep a night.
It's unbelievable.
He trains in the middle of the night. He trains from 1 to 3 in the morning, goes to sleep at 3:30 to 5:30, wakes up, works all day until late at night. He'll do the shows. And then afterward, he'll go to a hotel. They'll stop, check in, and then he'll go to a gym. They'll rent out a gym in the middle of the night. He'll train for 2 hours and come back to the hotel and sleep for 2 hours. The guy's a machine.
Yeah, I think I just saw something. I believe it was Heyman who put something out recently that just said, say what you want about Vince McMahon, but his work ethic and creativity and everything about him have made so many people in this business rich, so much money, thanks to him, you know, and that's so true. All right, Kurt, let's get to the fan questions. First one from Instagram, a wrestling historian. What's the best thing that you learned from Vince McMahon?
You know what? I just said it, work ethic, you know, knowing how hard he worked. He made you want to work harder. You know, I remember one night we were in Boston and we had to tape over a SmackDown taping of a spot Undertaker and I had to do. And it wasn't bad. Like on TV, it wasn't bad when we did it that night, but Vince wanted it to be perfect. So what happened was I had Undertaker in a chokehold and he was pinning me and he tapped at the same time I got pinned. And he didn't tap the mat. He tapped my body. And Vince wanted him to tap the mat. So we had to wait till everybody left 1 o'clock in the morning to redo the scene that we did in the ring for SmackDown. It was the main event that night. And they had to get all the WWE employees in one corner of the arena. And they had to shoot it from the other side. So it looked like fans were still there. So we had to wait like 3 hours for everyone to leave the arena. And do the spot there.
Yeah.
That is Vince. Vince wants everything to be perfect. He's going to work as hard as he possibly can work to make sure it's perfect. That is Vince McMahon. He's a perfectionist. He's the hardest working guy I've ever seen in my life. And he's very creative.
Umar asks, what is the most outrageous Vince McMahon story you have experienced or heard?
Well, the plane ride from hell.
That's pretty.
But you know what? I'm going to tell you what he did one time. He used to rib me a lot. When I first started, he was looking at this piece of paper and he was in his office. I was sitting on his couch in his office. This was at TVs at an arena in some city. I forget where it was. And he was in the corner and he's reading this paper. He goes, Kurt, come over here. I want to show you something. So I come over and I'm like, why is he in the corner? He's like buried himself in the corner. So I have to get next to him in the corner and like weasel myself in to see the piece of paper. And he starts laughing underneath his breath. And I start smelling something really bad.
Oh my God. He farted.
And he wanted me to smell it.
Oh, okay. Man.
It's a 65-year-old man.
He loves toilet farting, humor. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, what the fuck, Vince?
He has got a reputation for loving toilet humor. So that makes total sense. Oh, my God.
It was the funniest thing ever.
Well, listen, guys, I know you sent in some more questions. We'll get to those. Kurt's got a flight to catch.
Yes,
but listen,
I do.
We mentioned Next week, we have someone special joining us. It's Brian Gerwerz talking about his time in the WWE, writing for Kurt, and he has a new book coming out. We can't wait to hear about it. He's a $7 producer, works with The Rock and on his staff. So, Kurt, I can't wait for that one. I know you're stoked.
I am stoked. He was my favorite writer. He means the world to me. He's just as important to me as Vince McMahon.
Oh, I can't wait. Before we get out of here, let's run through it, and I'm going to do it auctioneer style again, Kurt, so we can get you out of here. Chicken snacks, physicallyfit.com, 20% off, AnglePod. If you use the code AnglePod, Kurt's showing them off right now. Sriracha, all kinds of flavors, right, Kurt?
Yes, we have 11 different flavors. We have plant protein and chicken protein. We're coming out with whey protein, too, and they taste incredibly well. They're going to be called Smart Snacks Crispy Protein Bites. But you can get them at physicallyfit.com. If you want to become a lifetime member, you'll get 20% off for the rest of your life anytime you order the chicken snacks or the snack Smart Crispy Protein Bites. So you get them at physicallyfit.com, and they're incredible. You're going to love them.
Check out KurtAngleBrand.com. You can find one of those silly cowboy hats. Also, that's where you can get your cameos, some T-shirts, other Kurt Angle merch. So check that out and support our Olympic hero. Also, WildcatBelts.com. Again, two left. Kurt, I saw a really cool post with you posing with the two belts that are left. So make sure you head over to Wildcat Belts. That's WildcatBelts.com. Go ahead, Kurt.
Oh. How do you order that? Because I had a couple of fans that wanted to buy the last two belts.
Oh, wow.
They commented on the Instagram and they said, I can't order it. You can't order it off the page. And I called the Wildcat Belts guy and he said that you have to order it through him.
So yeah, well, you can find his email address on the website.
Okay, so email him.
So go to wildcatbelts.com and there is an email address for Andrew and Wildcat Belts. Shoot him an email and he'll take care of the rest.
Yeah, two people wanted the last two belts.
All right, well, there you go.
Know how to do it. Yeah.
So guys, hurry up. Get on your computers and get it before they're gone forever. And then Saturday, Kurt, it's just a couple weeks away, August 27th, you and I are jumping on airplanes and we're headed to Wisconsin to the Timber Rattlers game. It's podcast at the plate. And there's pregame podcast packages available. You can ask Kurt questions. He's going to throw out the first pitch, but man, we're going to have a blast. You can Google Wisconsin Timber Rattlers and check out their schedules and promos and see all the stuff that's going to go down there. Kurt, you're going to get sick of me this month. You're going to
yes,
see me.
I am. I'm going to see you tomorrow. I'm going to see you on the 27th. I see you every freaking week.
Top Guy Weekend in Chicago.
Don't forget about that. That's 6 days later. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to puke. Kurt's going to puke. Oh, man. So good. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, the more we hang out, the more we get to know each other, and that's going to make this show even scarier. We're going to have a lot of fun. But I appreciate you doing it this week. Again, Brian Gerwerz next week. We have some other guests lined up coming too that we're excited about. We appreciate all your support on the Kurt Angle Show. And tell everybody about it on social media. Promote it, share it, tell us what you enjoy. If you don't enjoy it, don't share it. Okay, we only want to hear the good shit. On behalf of the Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle, this is Paul Bromwell. We'll be back again next week right here on the Kurt Angle Show.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series or bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.